wants to follow along, there are some source sheets for those interested. How come you didn't mention I'm Abby's second cousin, once removed? I don't know. All right, just to begin with a quick tefillah. It's a great privilege to be here together to learn Torah with you guys here tonight. And Hashem should help to guide me to say the right words and guide all of us to have the open ears and open hearts to share together some wisdom and some inspiration and to come out greater and closer to Hashem. Tonight, I want to discuss with you and get to the bottom of one question. It's a very short question, but a very important question. In fact, it's the oldest question in the history of the world. On the eve following Adam HaRishon's sin, Adam HaRishon is in Gan Eden, depressed after confronting his error, and Hashem asks him one word. Ayeka. Literally translated as, where are you? But as we're going to get to tonight, after much learning together, is that question was much, much, much deeper than just, where are you hiding? To begin, I wanted to talk to you about two incredible nisim that you've all witnessed. Witnessing nisim is not always something that we appreciate at first hand. We don't see seas split. We don't see hail from the sky miraculously. But these are two nisim that you've all experienced. And with the proper amount of hisbonenus, you'll really appreciate them more and appreciate what you have. The first is the incredible nis of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah tells us, Ki Hashem Elokecha meviyacha Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachli Mayim, Ayanos Tomos, Yatzim Beviku Vahar. Hashem's going to bring us to a beautiful land, a land with rivers and streams, Chita Saora Gefen Te'ina, Eretz Eitzem and Udvash, a land of Eretz Yisrael that has everything. Yet the Torah also tells us, in Parshas Bechukosai, after describing that the Jewish people will fall from their grace, the Jewish people will sin, the clothes will come onto the Jewish people, Vashimosi an Yetz Haaretz, Hashem says, I will destroy the land. Ushmama alau aybechem hayoshvim ba. And your enemies that will come in your place to settle the land will be astounded at how desolate and how much destruction they will see in Eretz Yisrael. And Chazal and the Rishonim on that pasuk point out, it doesn't make any sense. Is Eretz Yisrael a land of beauty, a land flowing of milk and honey? Or is Eretz Yisrael a land that's desolate? And the answer is, as many of you have heard, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechai, write, B'chol ha'gluyos ein artzeinu mikabel asol aveinu. This is one of the promises, one of the nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when we go into Golus and other nations come and settle our land of Eretz Yisrael, while we are here, we'll experience bracha. But when they're here, they'll experience desolation, destruction. There's no land like this, says the Ramban, that sometimes is great and sometimes isn't good. It's just geology. Some lands are good, some lands aren't, but not Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the Malam in Ateva, the nace of Eretz Yisrael, and if you think about it, how incredible this is, that the same soil and the same dirt can sprout when Bnei Yisrael are there and lie absolutely desolate when our enemies are here. This is the nace of Eretz Yisrael. And you guys this year and of other times in your lives have the ability to go around Eretz Yisrael, see it flourishing, see its beauty on your Tehillim and going to the families that you go to for Shabbos, seeing the community sprouting, Eretz Yisrael sprouting. We're witnessing this incredible nace of Eretz Yisrael. Think about it. You know, people say, if I saw a nace, if I saw a miracle, Hashem would just show me a little miracle, I would change. If you really use your mind to appreciate this miracle, your life would really change. The second miracle I'd like to discuss is the miracle of Am Yisrael. Besides for the miracle of Eretz Yisrael, the miracle of Am Yisrael is most greatly captured by a famous quote I'm sure many of you have read and heard before. We'll just read it together and think about it. Mark Twain. It's okay to quote secular sources here, right? The Jew has made a marvelous fight in this world. In all the ages, he's done it with his hands tied behind him and his back. Egyptians, Babylonians, and Persians were all, they filled the planet with sound and splendor. But then they faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek, the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they're gone. Other peoples have sprung up, held their torch high for a time, but it burned out and they sit in twilight or have vanished. The Jews saw them all, beat them all, and now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? Immortality is innate, it's not natural. Naturally, things die. Nations naturally die. All the great nations of history have had moments and gone. And the Jewish people, the one and only nation, probably the most unlikely of all nations of the world, persecuted, exiled. We are still here. Am Yisrael Chai. When you think about it deeply and use your mind to see this nace, it's really life-changing. The problem is that there are many people in this world that they want to see nisim, and they want to see miracles with their eyes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, eyes are superficial. Your mind is where it's at. Your neshama resides in your mind. And if you see miracles with your mind, you think about Eretz Yisrael. Think about Am Yisrael. You'll appreciate these incredible miracles of the Jewish people. And that would change your life. Now, the next question I want to discuss right now is why? Ramban in Parshas Hazinu says, why do we have these nisim? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the nace of Eretz Yisrael, the miracle of Am Yisrael? For what purpose? So this Hashem tells us already. He told it to the first Jew in history, Avram Avinu. Vakimosi es brisi. This is in Bereishis, Perek Yud Zayin. Beini uveinecha ubein zarecha acharecha. Hashem says, I'm going to make a bris, a covenant, with you and your children. I'm going to give you a nation. L'dorosam bris olam. This will be an eternal bris. It will last forever. Lios l'cha l'lohem l'zarecha acharecha. To be for you and for your children. Unatati l'cha l'zarecha acharecha. It's Eretz Megurecha. It's Kol Eretz Kanan. And I'm going to give you the land of Eretz Yisrael. Achuzas olam. Why do we have this incredible miracle of Eretz Yisrael that it just is providing just for the Jewish people, just waiting for us to use it? Why do we have this miracle of Am Yisrael that we continue to exist after persecution, assimilation, after all of our exiles? For one reason and one reason only, because Hashem promised. Hashem promised we'll be eternal, we'll be an eternal nation, and we'll be an eternal land. But of course we have to ask, why did Hashem promise it to us? Why did Hashem make these promises to miraculously preserve Am Yisrael, miraculously preserve Eretz Yisrael? For what purpose? This the Torah also tells us. In Bereishis, Perek Yud Ches, Hashem explains, why did I make a covenant with Avram Avinu? Why do I make a bris with Avram Avinu? And we really all know the answer. Because Avram Avinu was the one that brought to the world, the first one to bring to the world. Absolutely false. The Chasam Sofer says, you think that Avram was the first one to bring to this world monotheism? Lefanav hayu yechidei skula. There are many people in the world before Avram Avinu, asher yadu es Hashem, that knew Hashem, v'das rachav, and knew his ways. Yechavtu u'bavaso yashku tamed, that they spent their whole days thinking about Hashem and Avas Hashem. Milanu Gadol Mechanoch. Before Avraham even Chanoch, Chanoch was on such a high madriga. He knew God so closely that the Torah tells us he just almost left this world. Hashem took him. He rides himself to a spiritual level. So what was special of Avraham Avinu? Chasim Sofer says. It's the Pasuk in Bereshis, Perek Yud Ches. Avram will be a very great nation. Why? Ki yadativ. Rashi says yadativ is a lashon of chiba. Because I love Avraham. Why? Leman asher yitzave es bana vesbeso acharav. Not because Avraham knows God. Not because Avraham works to serve God. But rather because Avraham is going to spread what he has with his children and with his community. Banav ubeso acharav. No one did that before Avraham. Avraham was the first one to bring to the world the idea that Hashem doesn't want people on their own just connecting to him. He doesn't want just people learning Torah and doing mitzvos. He wants people who are learning Torah and doing mitzvos and helping others do the same. Spreading what they've learned. Spreading what they've found. To a world that's lacking it. To people. To nations. To countries that are lacking a relationship with truth. A relationship with Hashem. Avraham realized. During Noach's generation, everyone was destroyed. During Chanoch's generation, people were destroyed. Avraham learned from those experiences, said the Chasam Sofer. And what Avraham realized is that what Hashem really wants is Shali me das esa'am v'kirvam avodasam. To take his connection with Hashem and to spread it to other people. To spread it to a world where avodas Hashem is lacking. He saw there was a problem. He saw that it was lacking. And Avraham did something that no one had done before him. And that was make a decision. That if I have something great, if I found Torah and mitzvos in a relationship to Hashem, then I need to spread it to people that don't. Hashem said, that's it. And therefore, Avraham was so beloved to Hashem that he made this covenant with Avraham. And he promised him that Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, the things that you love, Am Yisrael, who doesn't love Am Yisrael, who doesn't love Eretz Yisrael, they'll be eternal. Why were those the gifts? Why were those the presents that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu? Because Avraham was a royal failure. He wanted to teach the world about the Ribono Shel Olam. There's a few nefesh asher asu b'charon. Couple of thousand people maybe that Avraham touched. He wanted to touch the whole world. Hashem explained, the problem is, Avraham, you are one man. And where do you live? You're a nomad, traveling north, south, east, west, crossing over here and there, leaving home. One man traveling across from here to there is not going to make an impact on the world. How can an impact be made on the world? One man wandering cannot. But one nation in one homeland can. The promises, the bris that Hashem makes to Avraham Avinu were the tools that he was giving him to finally accomplish his mission. To bring the Ribono Shel Olam to the world. And the reason why this year is titled, someone once asked me what it's like to be a Jew, is not because I love that niggin. It's because when you think about this idea, it changes completely what it means to be a Jew. When you ask most people, they say, you know, what is a Jew? You come with different answers. You know, Torah, someone who does mitzvos, maybe someone a little deeper, someone who connects to Hashem. And the Chasam Sofer tells us not true. There were many people who weren't Jewish before Judaism started who served Hashem. Who connected to Hashem? Judaism began with Avraham Avinu after Avraham decided that it's time to spread Torah and mitzvos and godliness to everywhere in the world where it wasn't. That's what it means to be a Jew. You could serve Hashem, you could do a lot of Torah and a lot of mitzvos, and you might be a great Eved Hashem, but I'm not sure if that means you're a great Jew. Because a Jew, a child of Avram Avinu who started Judaism, is someone who recognizes this mission, this mandate, that it's not just about me learning Torah and learning mitzvos, it's about me spreading that to those places where it's not. That's what Avram Avinu did. Now, obviously, if you wanted to be a great history teacher, you for sure yourself have to know a lot about history. If you want to be a great connecting to Hashem teacher or sharer, so obviously you have to be great at connecting to Hashem. That's why we spend our formative years like we're doing right now. Learning, growing for myself. I want to become great at connecting to Hashem. But understand that there's a step two. And as you get closer to the end of this year, start thinking a lot, okay, I'm growing myself. Where's my next step going to be after Shanabel? It's going to be learning how to spread Torah, spread mitzvos to other people that don't have. Why is this such an important part of being a Jew? Avram Avinu, there's really no bigger chesed. You can imagine that you could do for someone. You could help them. You could give them some money. You could even do something better. You could teach them a job. But imagine you teach someone truth, wisdom, life-changing perspective of what the world's about, the purpose of life. You can share that with someone else and change every decision that they make from then on. There's no greater chesed than to teach someone wisdom. Life-changing wisdom. And there's no bigger Kiddush Hashem that you could do. Everyone's always so careful. We want to make a Kiddush Hashem wherever we go. Got to say thank you to our bus drivers before we get off the bus. Always remember to make a Kiddush Hashem wherever we go. And it's definitely something so important. But there's no bigger Kiddush Hashem that you could do. It's to help someone who doesn't appreciate the Ribono Shel Olam, doesn't appreciate Hashem, to now recognize Hashem and appreciate Him. So I challenge everyone here, now I'm going to go over kind of like to stage two of our Sicha. I challenge everyone over here is, if you feel that you love Eretz Yisrael, and you feel that you love Am Yisrael, so then really think about what the Torah tells us these gifts were given to us for. The miracle of Am Yisrael, the miracle of Eretz Yisrael were given to us as children of Avram Avinu in order to continue his mission. To bring more goodness, more godliness to the entire world. And I want to ask you now to think about what that might mean practically in your own lives. What's your responsibility to reach out, to share what you've learned about Torah and mitzvot to the many people out there that don't have the privileges and opportunities that you have? Because I definitely believe that if we don't bring out our potential in this area, there are real consequences. But before we get there, I just want to talk about four blocks. Four blocks that sometimes people have to reaching out, to sharing what they have with other people. And each one of these presents us with a very important aspect of our own personal growth. Some people aren't interested in reaching out and sharing what they have to other people because they themselves are not confident about their own Torah and mitzvos. Their emunah isn't so strong. They don't really understand why they do it, what we do. And that's important to become aware of. Because if our own foundations are shaky, it's important to know. But once we know it, we're in good shape. Because we can learn. And we could strengthen these things. A lot of times we might spend time, a lot of times learning a lot of things, but we forget to spend time learning about emunah, learning about philosophy, learning things that will really concretize our foundation so that we can be confident to share with other people. Other people are hiding behind the fact that they're kind of in their own world. They don't really necessarily care so much about other people. If everything's okay with them, so then that's fine. At least I'm okay. And that, unfortunately, is a very deep moral and ethical flaw, not really identifying and connecting with the rest of Am Yisrael. Some people hide behind the fact that it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to confront someone else who's different than me. And that's part of what growing up is about. Maturing is about confronting very often situations and experiences that are a little bit uncomfortable for us, that make us stretch out of our comfort zone to become the people we could be. And as we become older and more mature, we have to learn to sometimes embrace situations that are uncomfortable, because it's only through facing uncomfortable situations that we really, really grow. But there's two deeper reasons why sometimes people don't reach out. And they get very deep to the core of some of our deepest fears. One of them is a fear of failure. No one wants to be a failure. And it's hard for us to sometimes look at ourselves, and especially if we're trying to reach out to someone who isn't involved in Torah and mitzvos, trying to share with them our wisdom, what we have, maybe they won't accept it. Maybe they won't take it to heart. And therefore, we feel failure. We have to understand that success is never in our hands. Failure or success is always in the hands of the Ribono Shel Olam. We can only do our best efforts in everything. Sometimes we fool ourselves and think that there's certain things that could surely be successful at, but even those things are all gifts from Hashem. We are never responsible for the failures or successes of our endeavors. We're only responsible to try our best. And if you really try your best, you'll feel great about yourself, and you really won't feel like a failure. And the last block that some people have to reaching out is a fear of rejection. Because we grow up in a society where you do your thing, let me do mine. And if you're going out trying to spread what you have, oh, so preachy, what are you, a missionary? The answer is no. I really just care about other people. And if there's a Ribono Shel Olam who wants his children to be close to him, I'm just trying to help them connect to Hashem. That's all I'm doing. But in our society, very often people look down on other people. They're trying to encourage other people what to do. And that's a very hard thing to sometimes confront. And it requires a personality of Avraham Avinu, Avraham HaIvri, who said, it doesn't matter what society says. If I think this is right, and then this is where I'm going to stand, even if it's on the different side than a lot of the things that society tells us. Why is this so important? Because I believe that there are real consequences to people that don't take this message seriously. The Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, it was after he experienced this story of Rabbi Yosef Bered, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Chalash Visnagid. Rabbi Yosef got sick and Isnaged, he was passed out. He left this world. Ki Hadar, when he returned, Amar Le'avua, his father said to him, you died, you left this world, and now you came back. My Chazisa, what did you see? Amar Le, Rabbi Yosef says, Olam Hafach Ra'isi, I saw an upside down world. El Yonim Lamata, Vitachtonim Lamala. Up was down, and down was up. Amar Lo, his father said to him, Bonai Olam Bar Ra'isa, you saw a crystal clear world. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Tzadok, Mabit, all explain this Gemara in the exact same way. Mabit says, Ki otam shem gdolim b'Torah u'masim tovim b'olam hazeh. There's a lot of people who in this world, they do a lot of mitzvos, they learn a lot of Torah. You anticipate that you go to Olam Haba, you're going to see them up on top. We're great. We learn Torah. We do mitzvos. But Joseph saw something upside down. Elyonim Lamata. Those same people who learned a lot of Torah, they did a lot of mitzvos, but they weren't. I expected them to be on top in Olam Haba, but they weren't. Why? Because their potential was different. Their potential was so much more. And what I'm suggesting tonight is that for many people in our generation who are connected to Torah and are connected to mitzvos, our potential is measured by the fact that we can reach out and share what we have to other people. I want to share with you a story. I really can't do it justice, so I'm going to play it for you the same way I heard it for the first time. It's a famous story, and maybe to help...
Can we close the lights for a second? What do you think?
Great.
Okay. Whoa. Not the door. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's not a first brain.
All right, I need some light. I need some light. It's too dark.
You want a phone?
It's on. Okay. Okay. Shh.
Louder?
I can't make a letter.
Okay. Let's see.
Maybe on the player. We're going to have to answer.
Good.
What happened to us? Did you do your mission? There's a very famous story with the Netziv. The Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhin Yeshiva, which is rightly called the granddad of all the yeshivas, modern yeshivas in the world. The Netziv was a prolific author. He wrote a magnum opus called the Hemek Shaila on the Shiltes Rav Achaigon. He wrote the Tshuvas Meshiv Davar, Shalas and Tshuvas. He wrote the Meroy Meisoda Chidushe HaShas. He wrote the Hemek Davar Al Hatayra. The Netziv was a guy in Olam. So the Netziv, when he finished the Hemek Shaila, the work on the Shiltes, he made a Siyam, he made a Suda, a Simcha. He says, why am I making this Suda? Why am I making this Siyam? First of all, because I finished a Sefer, so you make a Siyam. But it's a personal party. It's a personal celebration. Because when I was young, the Netziv said over, I once heard my parents talking, and I heard my father crying to my mother, and saying, Was mit sein mit Hirschleib, what the Netziv was called. What's going to be with him? I've tried to get him to London. I've given him prizes. I've tried everything with him. But he fools around. He doesn't learn. I think it's about time he faced reality and sent him off to learn a trade. He should become a tailor, a shoemaker, because he won't have any shaychus in learning. So the Netziv heard that, and he says he ran into his father and he cried and he says, I'm going to start. I'm not going to fool around anymore. I'm going to buckle down. And he became the Netziv, and the rest is history. So the Netziv writes, I would have been a fine of all of us. I would have gone into Erev Yom Kippur thinking, I do my malacha be'amuna, I don't cheat people, I'm an Erlich Yid, fine. I would have come to Shamayim after 120 years as a shoemaker, and they would ask me, where is the Shiltes? Where is the Meshiv Dovar? Where is the Meroy Mesoda? Where is the Hemet Dovar? I would have looked at them, me, a balabas, a pashete, a maretz, a shoemaker. What are you talking about? The answer is because there was a heavenly Netziv, a godly Netziv, and an earthly Netziv. And had the Netziv not done what he obviously could have done, he wouldn't have reached and matched that godly image. That's the way it is with all of us. Before we came down, the Ribbono Shel Olam has an image of who we are and what we can be. and our life is devoted to trying to reach that godly image of who we all are.
I believe that when we talk about being a Jew, and what being a Jew is a person who's sharing their relationship with Torah and mitzvot with the rest of the world, like Avraham Avinu. I believe part of our Jewish potential, the potential of every Jew, is an image up in Shamayim of someone to some degree, whether it's formally in education, interpersonal amongst coworkers, friends, or family, shares the relationship with Hashem, shares the Torah, shares the mitzvot that they have. And after 120 years, Hashem is going to ask all of us that question, Ayeka, where are you? It's not a question just what are you hiding behind. It's a question of where are you in relation to that potential that I created you with? And there's a few more sources I want to share with you that I really think bring this message home. One's relevant to this week's Parsha. The building, we're in the Parsha of the building of the Mishkan. And one of the things that all of the Kalim, except for the menorah, was built with was with wood, Atzi Shittim, the Shulchan, the Krashim, the walls, the Mizbeach. They all had wood on the inside. But the Torah specifies what type of wood was used, Atzi Shittim. The Medrash asks, Lama Atzi Shittim? Why not just wood? Why does Ribbono Shel Olam command that the wood that's used for the Mishkan be Atzi Shittim, says the Medrash? There's a message that Hashem wanted to send for generations. That if a person wants to build his house with a tree that gives fruit, Amarlo says, you know, why should I use this tree that makes fruit when I could use some Atzi Shittim, wood from a tree that doesn't make any fruit? After all, I learned from Hashem, Hashem said, when you build the Mishkan, do not use trees that make fruit. Use the Atzi Shittim. Why? Because everything the Ribbono Shel Olam created, Kol Ma Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu Lo Bara Ela L'Chvodo, was made for a certain reason, with a certain purpose. And if a tree was made with peros, with fruit, that means it's supposed to be used for fruit. If a tree was made without fruit, that's because Hashem wants it for a different purpose, and that's to build with. Says Rav Pam, says, do you see what we see from this Medrash? The same thing, sorry, Matzahel Salman says that the same thing that we see from this Medrash is, which is true by trees, is true by people as well. Even if you would use the tree of fruit to build a Beis HaMikdash for a mitzvah, it's still Baal Tashchis. But I used it for a good purpose. I learned Torah. I did mitzvos. Wasn't that great? Yes, it's good. But if you had more potential, more resources, more talents for something else, if you had the ability also to share what you had with other people, and you wasted it, you did good, but you missed out. You allowed to go to waste some of the potential, the pirus that you've been given. So Rav Matisyo extends this medrash to human beings as well, but we really didn't need him to do it, because there's another medrash that says the exact same thing with people. There's in Sefer Malachim, there's a story, an unfortunate story of Naboth. Naboth was a man that had a beautiful vineyard, a beautiful field, and the king wanted his field. It was during the time of Achav. Achav wanted his field, and Achav plotted with his wife, his evil wife, Jezebel, to take Naboth's field. In the end, they hired witnesses, testified falsely against Naboth, and Naboth was killed, and Achav and Jezebel took his beautiful kerem, his beautiful vineyard. Ask the Medrash. Mipnei ma, why did this happen to Naboth? Because the Torah says, and Medrash says, Navos ayakolo na'e. Navos had a beautiful voice, says the Yalkut Shimoni. Vayaol Yerushalayim, vayukol Yisrael mekatzim shmo kolo. And we would go through Shalayim for Eliyahu the regular, everyone would say, Navos, we want to hear you, Davin. Lead us, sing for us, let us hear your beautiful voice, let's praise Hashem together behind your voice. Pam achas lo Allah.
One time, he refused.
He didn't go with them, and he denied the Jewish people the experience of being uplifted and inspired through his beautiful voice. Says the Medrash. Hashem says, why did I give you that voice? Why did I give you this talent? If not for the sake of also bringing more Kavod Shemayim. And Navos was punished for wasting that gift and wasting that potential. And when I speak, I don't speak this message everywhere I go. Because I don't think this is the right message for everyone to hear. But you have to think about you guys. We're in Shalavim. We're dealing with girls who are smart, who are cool, who are into Torah, into mitzvot, who are inspired. It's the cream of the crop. And if Hashem has given you this inspiration, this wisdom, this personality of being a good girl and being with it, for what purpose? Why do we merit that special blessing? There's a reason. And everyone has to examine that, find that reason, and ask themselves what their specific talents and opportunities and situation obligates them. Rav Kook says this idea, not regarding talents, but regarding time. In the Machzor in Yom Kippur, we say, Elokai, Rav Kook says this line, until I was created, eini kedai. What does this mean? Rav Kook says that every single neshama is put into the world at a specific time. At a specific time for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. And ad shalom utzarti, before I was created, there was no purpose for me. I would not have been able to accomplish my goal. Eini kedai. It wasn't kedai to create me. But if now I find myself in the world at this specific time, there's a unique aspect of the time that I live in that guides me towards my tachlis. What's special about our time? A few things. We live in a generation where we see with our own eyes so many Jewish people disconnected, assimilating, intermarrying. There's something unique in our generation, a problem in our time that brings us a little bit more to become aware, maybe, of what should be on our minds. What we should be doing. We live also in a time where Torah and ideas and inspiration can be spread so easily. Internet, with all of the resources that we have, you can make videos and you can send emails and things can be publicized in social media. We live in a time unlike any other where it's so easy to spread wisdom and to spread inspiration to our friends and to our family. We live at a time unique in Jewish history. We're not impoverished. We're not persecuted. We have special opportunities that other Jewish people never had. And I think it's incumbent of everyone upon here to look at, number one, our talents, our fruit, our abilities, that unique what Hashem gave us, and also our time. What's unique about our time? Put those things together and then ask yourself, Ayeka, where am I? In respect to all of these opportunities, to the special time and talents that I've been given. The Chedushei Arim, the Ger Rebbe, says that the mitzvah to do tshuva in the Torah The Rambam, when he quotes the Mitzvah to Tshuva, says it's a pasuk from Visvadu es chatasam asher asu, that you have to do vidui for the sins that you've done. Now, theoretically, Hashem could have written this Mitzvah to do Tshuva by any single Avera in the entire Torah. Where do we find it, says the Chiddush Yerim? We find it in Bamidbar Perakei, V'yedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Dabra al B'nei Yisrael, Isho Isha ki yasu mikol chatos ha'adam limo mo b'Hashem. What type of Me'ilah is this referring to? Rashi says, Parshas Gozel V'nishpa. These psukim are talking about the avera of gzela, of stealing. Why is it, says the Chiddush Yerim, out of all the averas in the Torah, the mitzvah of tshuva and vidui appears by gzela? And he says, the answer is found in the Yom Kippur Machzer. At the end of Ne'ilah, our last and final tefillah, after we've clapped al chayin at Shachris and Mincha and Musaf, we get to Ne'ilah at the very end and there's no more al chayitz. What do we say vidui for at Ne'ilah? We say, Batitin lanu Hashem Elokeinu ba'avas yom ha-kippurim hazeh. Keitzu mechila v'slicha kol avonoseinu. Hashem gave us the day of Yom Kippur for mechila and slicha. L'man nechtal me'oshek yadeinu. In order that we're able to hold ourselves back from stealing, the theft of our hands. Why do we mention theft? Says the Chiddush Yerim. Because in the end of the day, all the averas and all of the missed opportunities and mitzvahs that we missed fall under one category. We're stealing the potential and that Hashem has given us. Hashem has given us opportunities. Hashem has given us time. Hashem has given us talents. And we let them go to waste. We stole them. We misappropriated the gifts that we have been given. So the question they want to ask and conclude with tonight is to think about, what are the talents that Hashem gave us? For what purpose are they there? What were the circumstances, your unique circumstances, Hashem has given you? And how can you use those talents, those circumstances, those opportunities to be a Jew, to be a child of Avraham Avinu, and not just learn Torah and do mitzvahs, but to spread it to others and to reach out and to share what you have to other people? What does this mean practically? It might mean to think twice about how you're spending the summer. Are there opportunities where I could be involved in situations where I could also reach out, share what I have to campers or to those who are not as inspired, connected as me? Is it going to impact in how you relate to coworkers? When you have jobs, you'll meet Jewish people that aren't connected. When you interact with them and making a Kiddush Hashem, are you extra sensitive to make sure to act in a way and to share with them in a way that's going to make them more interested and connected? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where do you choose to live? Is it the best idea to live in a community where there's already lots of Jewish people? Or maybe I can embrace maybe living out of town, making an impact on a community where that there's more opportunity to share and to reach out, and I can make a contribution, my family can make a contribution. How do we interact with our family and friends? We have family and friends that aren't as inspired as we. Do we try to think about how I can behave, what I can say, what I can share that might help them to appreciate more the things that I love about Torah and mitzvos? Am I involved? Do I go to Asia Torah's Destinations program? It's over. Sorry, guys. You have to come back to Chonabet. Do you get involved in organizations, opportunities where people can learn and be involved in inspiring others, spreading Torah and mitzvot to other people? But most important, do you think about this question? Do you spend time thinking about the fact that there are people out there less connected than me? What's my purpose with my talents and my opportunities to be able to reach out to them? Purim is coming! So we're going to finish off with an idea of how this idea relates to Purim. This idea that I heard from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein And before I discuss it together with you, I want everyone, I think it's the last page of the source sheets, there's two sections from articles translated from Rav Aaron Sichot. I want everyone right now to find someone sitting next to them, okay? And there's two sections. Find a chavrusa, all right? Read to each other each one of the paragraphs. First one of you reads the first paragraph to the person sitting to your right, and each one reads the person sitting in the left, and we'll discuss it in a moment. Mordechai says to Esther, for you to sit in your palace and to say, everything's okay with me. It doesn't matter. The plight of the rest of Klal Yisrael is a moral and ethical flaw. To say, I'm okay. It doesn't matter the damage that's happening to other Jews is something that as a Jew, a child of Avram Avinu who cared about the world and the state of the people around him is flawed. Ki im hacharesh tacharishi be'es hazos. If you choose to be silent at a time like this, in this time, with these problems, in our generation, with our opportunities. You can't choose to be silent. Umi yodea. And who knows? Im la'es kazos higat l'machlus. If it's for this exact purpose that you were given the opportunities in your life. There's a heavenly version of all of us. And as Jews, that potential of that heavenly version means that I have the potential of Avram Avinu to share what I have with others that don't. How is an individual question that each one of us needs to answer for themselves. It's your own ayeka. But for all of us, it's true. That whenever it is that we reach out to other people to bring them closer to Hashem, that means we're using the potential that Hashem gave us in the exact right way that Hashem gave us. Every time that we try to spread, make a Kiddush Hashem, we're following in the footsteps of Avram Avinu, and we really know what it means to be a Jew. So whenever it is that Hashem asks you that question of Ayeka, it would be blessed to be able to answer and say, we didn't steal the talents that you gave us, and we didn't waste the opportunities and the time that we were placed into. We used them to reach out to other people. We understood what it really means to be a Jew, a child of Avram Avinu. And we used our kochos and our situation to do what's right, to share what we have with other people. So when Hashem asks Ayeka, we'll answer, we used our potential to bring others close to Hashem and to bring more Kavod Shemayim. Thank you.